Hello, welcome to the Eating for Health podcast. I'm Dr. Harriet Holm, founder of Healthy Eating Doctor, registered nutritionist and doctor. I studied medicine at Cambridge University, worked in the NHS for over a decade, have a PhD in genetics, lecture on nutrition, and was commissioned to write a novel degree combining culinary skills, nutrition and health. I'm on a mission to break down nutrition myths and share science-backed nutrition to help empower you. I'll share some interviews, theories and practical tips focused around nutrition and health. Stay tuned to find out more. I'm delighted to have Rob Solly, personal trainer to the stars, to talk with me today about his personal experience of supplements and how he approaches his clients. Rob is a fitness educator and trained Ollie Mers, Paloma Faith, Emma and Matt Willis. He loves training other people and himself and is set on a path of continual learning. He tells me he's been taught by some really smart people and continues to learn from smarter people. But what I've noticed about Rob from working with him is that he's incredibly passionate about fitness and long-term health. We talk about muscle mass, sleep, what supplements Rob takes, what he eats, how and why he tracks various health markers, and much more. If you haven't heard of Rob, check out his Instagram where he has lots of training videos with tips for correct technique. I'm really delighted to have Rob Solly here. He's a personal trainer to the stars. And I just think it's probably best if you introduce yourself, Rob. Tell me a bit about you.
Well, I'm Rob. I like training and I train other people. It's something that's sort of been, I started at gym when I was 13. I'm now 44, but I've been on lots of journeys before I became a trainer, but all had that central theme of I love training and I loved learning about training. And I always wanted to, I always had a vision of the future and I wanted to make sure that I could do what I was doing for a long time. And that's sort of like what I like to try and spread now.
Great, thank you. And do you find that many people ask you about nutrition much? Do you think do your clients ask you much or they just stick to the training?
Basically for me, stick to the training. I value people like yourself. And so because obviously, even though I try my best and I will definitely sort of say, hey, I think you should try this or you should try that. I've come to know how little I know about nutrition. And it amazes me the confidence of some trainers to sort of say, no, do this, do that, do that. And I think, mate, I've been looking at this for 10 years. You've been looking at it for 10 months. And so I know you and I know people like you. And unfortunately, every so often they'll get a phone call or a text message from me. And I'll say, what about this? What about that? I've got this problem. You know, I've got that problem with someone. And I try and send them that way, whether they want to go down that route or not. But obviously I can, you know, I can talk to them about the macro and micro element, but you know, I know I'm not an expert, so I concentrate on press ups.
That's great. I guess you value a sort of, you know, multidisciplinary approach with, you know, the nutritionist or registered nutritionist or dietitian, and this sort of complementary approach with a personal trainer. I think it's probably the ideal, really, isn't it?
Completely. Even though it may be more expensive, if you look at an athlete of any sport, they won't have one person, they'll have several. So, and also it's good to sometimes not just have that one way, but understand there may be four or five different ways that work for you. I think we're very much as a training industry focused on that one way. And in my experience, one of the reasons I think that I continually get work is because I know there's not one way. And if it's not working, I can switch or mix it up, even though I can make that inherent guess kind of thing, you know, or prediction. Not everything is so black and white.
So what do your clients mainly come to you for? Is it to get fit or is it to lose some weight? What do you think is sort of the number one?
Probably to hear me go on yarns. No, I think it is definitely to get fit. I think that if you come and train with me, you've got to sort of buy a little bit into my mantra, which is we're going to look at this for 5 years, 10 years. So Harriet comes and trains and I say, okay, Harriet, I'm looking at you in 10 years' time, in 15 years' time. And everything I do now is going to sow the seeds for that. So I'm going to try my best to educate you about training, not in a like a formal education response, but I know that slightly drilling in certain cues like head to heel, strong as steel, or hips for headlights, when you're then in the gym, you know, okay, this is my swing. I keep my hips for headlines. They stay with you. And I like that as a trainer.
No, so. I think those are great because they're really quick and easy cues to remember when you're not around, because, you know, you're not going to be around the whole time with people. They're going to have to do some training by themselves at some point.
Yeah, completely. And I don't think that I should have this exclusivity. I don't mind if people I train go off and train with other people and stuff like that. One thing I do like to do is constantly invest in myself in regards to what I'm trying to learn, what I'm trying to do, both physically and mentally. And we were just, before we started this, we were talking about the lockdown. During the first lockdown, I couldn't believe how many people hit me up that I used to train, that were like, because they were bored of their training, maybe bored of doing the body coach. There's only so many high knees and lunges you can do, you know. Perhaps I played some games, I invented some games for people, just made it a little bit inventive and just try and add a bit of twist and understand that I don't know how long this is going to go on for. So, you know, and I don't want them to see exercise as a chore. So how am I going to make it a bit more fun, a bit more engaging, a bit more unpredictable, but at the same time still get the need, the value that they want from it?
No, it's good. So what do you, I know you obviously, Rob, and I know that you take a lot of
supplements. But do you really know me?
And I know that you follow some interesting people. We don't always see eye to eye on some nutrition things. But I just want you to tell me, first of all, we'll talk a bit about your bio data, and if you're happy to talk about that, your Oura Ring, and tell me a bit why you got it tell me a bit more about it.
Well, I think it's always good to know I'm 44 and, you know, compared to most of my friends I went to school with on that, you know, I feel a bit better than they do. I can definitely move a bit better than they do. And I want to be able to do this for a long time. I read this amazing thing Arsene Wenger said the other day. He said that basically I exercise with the idea that I want to be able to do tomorrow what I could do today. And I think that's a really, really important thing. He's saying, I don't want to lose it. And that's how I see it. There is no finish line. So I'm wearing an Oura Ring now, but like I would recommend any piece like this, the Whoop. And I think they're reasonably cheap for the data you get, but it allows me to sort of see where I am. I think it's really important for me because even though I get coached, I don't have a daily coach. And this is now my daily coach. And so I don't suffer from fatigue or burnout, and I can predict those things. And you wouldn't believe the amount of trainers I've had who are lying in bed with adrenal fatigue or something like that, that I have said to, you should try Whoop, that ignore it and run themselves off a cliff. But they're training people, and I think, so like this will tell me, Rob, you cooked today. And so I go do some yoga.
So tell me, so for those people who don't know what an Oura Ring and what Whoop are, so an Oura Ring is, it tracks your respiratory rate, your oxygen sats, your blood pressure. So your oxygen
sats. My heart rate availability, my body temperature. Yeah, and obviously my sleep as well and how much I move. And it obviously does, you know, looks at deep and REM sleep as well. And it has more sort of like, it has more, I suppose, biomarkers to make a calculation. And so I will show you this. And you might not be able to see it, but I will show you it if you're just listening. But there behind you is my selection of supplements, right? And that does look like a lot of supplements, and it is a lot of supplements. Yeah. I'm quite into like looking at stuff like that, yeah? I don't tell people what to do. I just tell people what I do myself.
So just tell me then, why do you track them? Why do you find it beneficial?
Well, so I want to know if these things help me in any way, shape, or form. And I know I'm just a party of one. My whole life is a party of one, you know. But you know, it's just, it's, I suppose it's a bit entertaining for me, but yesterday, last night, I didn't take any supplements. And to say, I usually take quite a few in the evening. I do. And I slept like, I slept fantastic.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, like magnesium, I recently just tried magnesium. And, you know, like, I've heard, you know, for years, I used to take ZMA, wow, 15 years ago when I was doing MMA and stuff like that. As I heard, you know, and as soon as the whisper gets out, I'm like Googling it and then probably buying it from some dodgy supplementation place in Oklahoma or something like that. But
because that's one of the things that
it's not working for me.
But supplements, you know, are so unregulated, and it's so difficult to know what you're getting. It's so difficult to be able to assess the quality. And things like magnesium, if you have a balanced diet, you should have all your magnesium, you know, within that balanced diet. So there should be no need to supplement. Most people don't need to supplement magnesium, or the vast majority. So I guess it's sort of, for me, I come from a very different point of view in that I'm much more hesitant about supplements. I think, you know, have to have really strong evidence of good, and certainly things like probiotics used to be, you know, considered, you know, considered to have very few side effects, but recent evidence has shown they might be actually more harmful and do, you know, more harm than good in certain circumstances. So I think I'm probably the opposite end of the spectrum to you, but I'm also kind of curious then about what sort of markers do you look at, and how do you think, does it give you a little sort of heads up of like, how does it tell you that, you know, you should go and do some yoga or whatever? Does it
we'll go through it. Like, so let's go through today. So this is my active calorie burn. I don't know if you can see, it's the same at 567. But if we go yet to yesterday, it tells me I have a readiness score, and that totals up all my different things. Basically totals up my resting heart rate, my heart rate variability balance, my body temperature, my recovery index, the previous night sleep score, which has all these other factors in, sleep balance, previous day activity, and activity balance.
So what do you do with that then?
For example, it says 87. Give me a little crown, just putting that out there, got a crown. But I know it's a good day to train. So when we finish I'm going to go do my hard handstand lesson. I'm doing something with the Movement Space TV, and there's a guy on there and he's next level. And so I'm going to go do that. But if it wasn't showing that, so it's made me less rigid in my training. And I've written a couple of plans for people, and I've tried, it's grown my thought. And particularly, you know, with someone, let's just say someone like Ollie, this wasn't Ollie, but it was someone in exactly the same circumstance, that they don't work in weeks like we work in weeks. What happens on a Saturday happens on a Saturday. There isn't a weekend because of the nature of work and stuff like that. So I wrote something. I've started writing things in phases, and you can only move on to the next phase when every box is ticked, because rather than go right, Mondays is legs, Wednesdays, and and then makes you less dread Monday as well. Say legs is the hardest thing. A lot of people do like them, but so this has filtered into my training, which is now filtering into the other area of training. And the guy who fed back to me said to me, I've never had, and he's done a lot of different training, had a lot of different personal trainers and stuff like that. And he just fed back to me, said, I've never had anyone had someone like, you know, like, that worked for me so well and allowed me to grow. And I'd always put little challenges in there. So it was, and there might be a mobility challenge or just something a bit weird. This has, I think, expanded my own thought and my own practice.
Okay.
That I bleed into other people.
Yeah. So tell me then, who do you follow for nutrition? And don't give me any names, but sort of what are sort of the ideas then that you've sort of come up with recently, or tell me a bit about where you got the ideas for some of your supplements, and what you take, and what the top tip. I know that you've got a whole shelf of them, so maybe we'll do the top three. Otherwise you'll be here all night.
I think that the sort of like the health people, you know, health was one of the first sort of podcasts to really kick on. I started listening to health podcasts around 2011, 2012 was when it really, I can really remember, because I started thinking, shall I do something in 2012? And then I recorded my voice and I was like, oh my God, you know, like, no wonder everyone walks out of the room when I start talking. But it's they've always been like slightly at the vanguard of stuff. But for me, it's about longevity. I want to be able to do this for ages. And I think it's going well. My biomarkers are really good. If you look at my heart rate variability, like, you know, at the minute, like, it's again there, but I don't grow my hair, dye my hair. I take biotin. That's what I take.
I just wonder though whether you have I just wonder if you'd have, you know, the same number of grey hairs whether you took biotin or not.
Well, I don't know, but I found that my nails and everything's just, I don't know if I'm molting, so I could be losing the hair. But everything, that seems to be one that I've really noticed a difference in, you know, like a physical difference. You know, I forever seem to be like having to sort my nails out. But anyway, it's about longevity. And the people who I'm interested in about longevity, I am fascinated by performance, but I'm not from the bodybuilding world, even though I do want great. I think the most important thing for me, and I would say this to women and men, the most important thing going forwards is keep hold of your muscle mass. Absolutely. Your muscle mass is so important. And we've sort of always favored cardio. And I don't really want to put one against each other. I think that makes us weaker when we do.
I think they're both important. You need heart.
Yeah, but, you know, muscle mass is just like, you know, you know all the data about ladies going through, women going through the menopause and losing a third of their bone density. Yeah. So,
but yeah, that men's testosterone naturally decline with age, and that's because of their.
Well, that's something I'm very like aware of, right?
Absolutely.
So that's something I go and get my bloods done, and you know, my testosterone is something I am super aware of. And to come back to the aura ring, sleep was my Achilles heel, and this makes me more accountable sleep. I managed to sort of get my sleep better a few years back, but I went through, I'd say, close to 2 years of not sleeping.
Wow.
And I mean, when I say not sleeping, I mean not sleeping. You know, like I'd probably get 90 minutes a night.
Wow.
And what was that like? So I needed to find a way through this. That was just my own mental state. And I was still training. And luckily I never broke, but I must have got close to exhaustion. But I've always ate. You see all those things, but I eat. And I always have since a kid, very naturally, probably 10 fruit and veg a day. It's just easy for me.
And so I know, I remember Melissa saying that you all went to the cinema and that you were there eating a bag of spinach. They were all on
fire. That is true. But I would like to add that. That was because I didn't think I had enough veggies. But I eat a ton. If I could show you my chocolate drawer too. It is ridiculous. There's got to be about 60 bars in there.
Wow.
And I eat a good 2 to 3 chocolate bars every day.
Wow, that's the first time I've ever heard you say that, Rob.
I don't keep it a secret at all. Like, you know, but that's, I sort of live in the 80-20 world. One of the places I learned was at a sports facility called Exos that has trained, you know, most famously American football, most of the combine comes from there. That's where they do the draft. But are UFC fighters, and it's an amazing system. Like, it blew my mind when I was coming out of Britain where, you know, and obviously from my background was combat sports. We just weren't evolved in our way of thinking. And then you saw the professionalism and the detail and the cleanliness. And you're just these things that I hadn't even come to my radar, but it has stayed with me that they really were like 80-20.
Yeah.
And so I live 80-20 every day. And that 20 is my chocolate bars.
If you have restricted food items, all you do is crave for them. And it's so much harder to live long-term. So if you can, you know, just make healthy choices most of the time, you know, that sort of 80-20, well, it's just much more sustainable for life, I think, really, isn't it? But yeah.
And that's it. I want to live. I want, you know, like in what what's going on at the minute, you know, I think one of the things we sometimes focus on is life and the sustainability of that life and keeping that life. And perhaps that's a higher moral and stuff like that. But I'm about living and life. And that's what I want. I want that joy to seep out kind of thing, you know. And I will always choose hope over fear. And that's something that, you know, maybe my scarred background, but I have to go down the road of hope. And this gives me hope going forwards, because to feed into it and the people I train, because I'm definitely picking up more clients and more people approaching me around my age, because they're starting to realize, hey, I want a future. And I don't want this to think that this is the end. I say there is no finish line. For example, I said about the handstand. Handstands is something I only sort of mastered in the last 2 years. So I really got it at 42. Couldn't handstand at 40. Yeah. And I want to do new things. I don't want this to be the end.
So do you think
that scares me? I don't want it to be the end.
Do you think your supplements then are like hope, that you're hoping that it will, you know, as opposed to fearful that you're taking something with very sketchy evidence a lot of the time?
Yeah, I think you're right. It's a placebo. You know, we were talking about this beforehand. I think, like, I have one coffee every day. I absolutely love coffee. I have one every day and I take it before I train and I look forward to it. And, you know, like, I will, you know, like the other day I had to have Costa rather than Nero and I was gutted because I like much prefer Nero to Costa. But that's how, like, I feel about it. But when I walk to the gym or whatever, I like to feel that heat in my hand and it will be my signal that I've got to work. And, you know, I don't know how good it is, but I'll go get it every time.
I feel like, so it's just to avoid too much medical jargon. So I think just to go back over the placebo effect the placebo is sort of taking a sugar pill, like a fake pill. And there've been lots of studies that have shown that you can even get physiological effects. So that's changes in different parameters in your body, even like sugar and temperature and heart rate and things with just a sugar, you know, a fake pill, which is quite remarkable, really. And there's obviously a huge amount of psychological aspect that comes into this, that and up to 30% of people just taking a fake pill will have some kind of physiological effect. So that's, you know, a third of people. And I kind of think that it doesn't really matter in some ways how you get that effect. If you're getting that effect through placebo and a fake pill that's got no side effects, then surely that's just as good as taking it through something that does have side effects, or, you know, maybe even better. So I'm, you know, I'm not anti the placebo effect. I just think, I guess my worries are there's an awful lot of stuff out there on the internet, an awful lot of nutrition myths and an awful lot of sort of what I call bro science, or what I think a lot of people.
Yeah, completely. But there has been, particularly in the bodybuilding world, where the bro scientists have got it right. They really have. They don't really know what they're doing. And sometimes I remember going on a course by probably one of the leading biomechanists in the world, a true STEM expert, you know, like, and he showed us a video of a guy talking about bench press, and he was talking about the rotator cuff ligament. There is no rotator cuff ligament, but he was right. He just explained it wrong. Do you see what I mean? So he was telling people in the 1970s or 80s about lifting. He didn't quite understand it, but he was right. And sometimes there is this kind of like this pump, this understanding that just like herbs, turmeric and stuff like that in India, it's just gone through the generations.
A lot of this comes down to sort of the power of coincidence, in that he might have got some things right, and people will get things right by chance. That's the nature of life, but they'll also get things wrong by chance, but no one ever talks about those things. They only get things right. For example, if you think it's your lucky day and you win the lottery or whatever, you're going to remember that because you thought it was your lucky day, and then you might think you're telepathic. But actually, on other days, you might have thought you were lucky and you didn't win the lottery, but you're never going to remember those days because they're not memorable. So
the reason that I value what you're saying and to a degree agree with you, even though I think you have to take punts, you know, like, you know, we could look at some examples of now of we still listen to people who've got it, you know, the numbers wrong time and time again in scientific modeling, but we're still listening to some of these people. that's why I'm reluctant to endorse anything, you know, like, and, you know, some of those supplements I didn't pay for, you know what I mean? You know, like, I'm very fortunate like that. But, you know, like, if someone contacts me and I always say, I try to be as honest with people straight away and say, I don't know if I, you know, what do you want from me? Because I don't know, I'm not going to suddenly say, this is the best thing ever, take this every day. Because we all know training and nutrition on a base level is really simple. Exercise, eat well, sleep well, keep moving. You know, like, don't stay away from negative people. You know, like, you know, the base level is so simple that, you know, like, and I'm guilty of overcomplicating things, you sort of said, but this is almost like a pet project as well.
Yeah, but I guess though, then it comes, I was just thinking through what you said then. But for example, I know there's a guy in Australia who thinks that bone broth is healthier than breast milk, and that babies should be given bone broth. And so, you know, people might want to eat well and eat healthily, but then I guess it comes down to what is healthy eating, or what is, you know, what is good nutrition? And there are, you know, a huge number of myths and all sorts of fads and everything else that comes with it. So that's where I think sort of, you know, the clarity of understanding, you know, the evidence, understanding what the evidence means, understanding how it translates into humans, and then, you know, whether it's right for you. But I guess in the same way with, you know, with exercise, ensuring that you don't, you know, pick up injuries, and you're doing the right thing for your body and right thing to get to your goals, is similar in that respect. And there's probably an awful lot of, you know, people training people badly because they don't have any qualifications and they don't know how to do it better, and therefore you're more likely to pick up injuries.
Exactly. That's why I focus on that. You know, like, all of it's funny. Sometimes you'll see on social media someone do something that I once taught, and I go, I taught them that. You know, like, as in, or they move the way they move. You know, like, I think the fundamentals are vital, because if you're going to do, again, if there is no finish line and you're going to do 1 million squats or 500 squats for your life, you don't want to have a valgus knee, so you're wearing your joints out. You want to be able to do this when you're 70. And so much in my world is all about the transformation, the quick fix. And it's really to the detriment of our health. Now, do we want people to go and transform? They do. I'd like them to not get in that state firsthand, so be as preemptive as possible. But that maybe come down to bigger factors, you know. But it's a real problem, and that's why I don't, again, if you look at my social media, you don't ever see the transformation, even though I have some wicked normal wicked photos that would get me loads more likes, loads more traction. But I owe it to myself and what I really know about training. The more I come to learn and be around better people, you know, does come an element of responsibility. And I
agree. I'm the same.
I'm
way
forever that, saying to, is this, shall I put this on the net? Shall I not? Shall I, you know, it's hard.
Well, yeah, because it, you know, the sort of the quick fixes are the things that get the likes, or the things that get, you know, traction, or they're the sexy stuff, aren't they? That, you know, everyone wants to have a pill or a supplement, or eat a superfood, or do one exercise that will get them, you know, looking extremely buff and, you know, very healthy. And everyone wants the quick fix. I think that's the nature of life, really, that, you know, doing it for life and doing it sustainably is takes a lot more effort and a lot more energy and a lot more commitment.
And I'm definitely less successful in the media world because I refuse to do those things. I've been asked loads of times to write 5 exercises to change your life, or, you know, like other things like that. I'm just like, it's a little bit more complicated than that, you know. And even though I'm an idiot, because I should do, you know, like, I should do them, I still don't own a house, right? You know, like, I should do them, but I find it hard to live with myself. And I'll give you a really quick example of that. I've started on social media in 2015. In 2016, early 2016, there was a trainer out there who went on to be, or who's gone on to be right now, is huge, absolutely huge, and doing really well. And there were some real flaws in her training. And one time she was talking about shoulder warm-up and showing people this a certain workout. And I just wrote in the nicest possible way and thing said, hey, awesome, you know, you like you have to do. Hey, awesome work, you know, you're doing, love what you're doing. But for this to work, the rotator cuff, as you're telling people, the force would need to go horizontally and not vertically. It will actually work on these and these. You know, you're better with a resistance band than weight. And she wrote back to me, thanks for your opinion. And I knew at that point that I didn't belong in this world, because I was like, no, this is an opinion. There's 1,000 textbooks on anatomy that will say the same thing. You've just not bothered to read them. Or go and work with someone better than a other social media star. And
that's one of the huge problems with social media, that, you know, they're so accessible on your phone. You feel like you know them, and they're called influencers for a reason. And they've got
That's it, but you want to influence someone for the better.
Absolutely.
Not just to sell stuff.
Yeah.
And that's where I try to train with and surround myself with as many young people as possible, not in a Jimmy Savile way, but I just want to be inspired. I want people to raise my training up. But there's definitely a different world coming through in regards to there's so much savvier on this. And I would honestly say appreciate qualifications less. You know, that may be a bit harsh, but that may be the world is a lot more diluted in qualifications when, you know, like the GCSE, the A-level, it's all just very 1, 2, 3. Now there's a variety of qualifications people can have. So perhaps that's the world is a bit more diluted.
I don't know, maybe, but certainly for me, I think if you're going to follow someone's advice, you know, you really want to know that they've got the right qualifications and that they know what they're talking about. And I think that qualifications are certainly one way of assessing that. And that, you know, that's one of the things that really I find remarkable is that anyone can call themselves a nutritionist. It's not a protected title. And you could set up tomorrow with zero experience and start influencing people. And I think that's really quite dangerous, to be honest. I think, you know, we've all got responsibility as professionals to help people and not to be doing harm.
Yeah, not sell them wolf tickets.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, but at the same time, it's like young people are coming out into this world that, you know, perhaps I'm a little alienated from. And I just would like to see them... I'm as straight as I can to all the young trainers I know, like that who I train with now. I'm like, just don't sell out. Just don't, you know, like you don't have to by 20 be a huge social media star. You know, make yourself awesome first. Like I will tell you, if people say to me, how did you get to train such and such, such and such? And they haven't asked me, why did you do that? Why do you use bands? Why is your warm-up like that? I sort of know that they'll never get it as a trainer. Mm. That's my honest belief, that because they're centered on about being something rather than, if you're just goddamn awesome, it will work 9 times out of 10 rather than 3 times out of 10, and the word will get out and you'll
spread. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Oh, great. It's been really, really great talking about a range of different topics there. I think we just had a long, good old chat. But thanks so much for joining me. And
hey, any time. Harriet, let's do it again. Sure. There's plenty of things we could talk about.
There are. Great. Well, thanks very much indeed.
And thank you for letting me chew your ear, not just now, but previously too. Oh, no.
It's a pleasure. A pleasure. I really hope you enjoyed listening, and I'd love if you'd give me a 5-star review and subscribe so that other people can find me too. I'm also at Healthy Eating Doctor on Instagram, and I have lots more nutrition education information on both my video courses and on my website, healthyeatingdoctor.com.